Welcome to the Shulamite Podcast, an extension of Shulamite Ministries and Shulamite.com, with weekly interviews and teaching with author and speaker Martha Kilpatrick and hosted by John Enslow. This weekly podcast is a way to stay connected to the ministry. So come experience anointed messages, not giving just another method, but a living impartation.
He is so fascinating because I think you quoted it to me in the last 24 hours, Carol. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that's what's so fascinating. To be content with your own thoughts or the enemy's logic instead of the fascinating views of God. And in certain situations, I'll clap my hands and say, I can't wait. It will be fascinating to find out what his thoughts are about this situation, because he is so far outside of our capacity to think.
Chapter 55, Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Oh, is it? Is it that?
My ways, says the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But even as you were speaking in the message, and as I read that Isaiah 55 again, and seeing where he said, listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in abundance, and incline your ear, and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. When you go to verse 11, it just struck me in a new, fresh, like lightning. It was, you know how lightning will flash and there's a, you see it. There was a new flash of light that came through on verse 11, because it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. But if I don't hear it, that word that goes forth from his mouth, I will not see and experience and know the power and the accomplishment of his word. And those things that he has said to me very clearly, in the way of promise that he has led me to in his word, to speak that word to me. With that word and with listening to that word comes the faith to believe that he is accomplishing that which he has spoken.
I had this amazing insight not long ago about warfare. Okay, we know the offensive. Ooh, there goes a big truck. We've got the windows, the doors open on this beautiful fall day. It's just gorgeous. Okay, it says, above all, about warfare, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have begun consistently proclaiming and declaring what he has spoken in the Scriptures. And that is the only offensive weapon, Carol. That proclamation is a weapon against the enemy. And I never saw it quite that way before. Did you already know that?
No, please.
Oh, it's so exciting. Just to speak the word that he gives you about a situation. It's a arrow that kills the devil. It's a sword that brings life to life and death to the enemy. It's the only offensive weapon is his voice in the word.
That gives the motivation and the zeal to proclaim right there.
Yes, because it can be boring and tiring.
It is.
And but we do it believing. And the more you proclaim, the more you believe it. But it's the sound going out of his word that just is the only weapon we have. It's the only weapon we have, and it's totally effective because it is standing against the lie. the voice of the enemy, its basis is a lie because his basic character is a liar. So it kills the lie. It kills the lie.
It's holding the ground. I just see it in the form of of the battle, of the troops on the ground. And it's holding that ground, absolutely, from the enemy.
And striking the offense. Offensive move of the devil. Brother John is stroking his beard like a sage. So I'm asking Brother John, what are you seeing?
On Get Along With God, I wrote something recently about the obedience is life, easy and light, and how we were discussing recently about the light burden, in it, the light burden and easy yoke, and that obedience is the easy and light burden and yoke. And I was just looking back over that in the app, and but if you're not listening, obedience is impossible. Which seems, you know, well, duh, you know, I mean, but it's the fact that if you're not purposed to listen, there's no way you can be obedient. And if you're not obedient and not listening, there's no way to please God. You can't please God by doing it your own way.
John, it is not a duh, because otherwise it is presumption. If we're just going about and thinking that we know what his will is and performing what we think we know, then that is presumption. And I don't know if this is so, but Martha said there's only two voices, and that kind of put things in a fearful reality.
Absolutely.
Frightening reality.
Sure.
Because if that's so, mm-hmm. and it is, then if it is not God's voice and it's presumption, then it's another's voice. And it's Satan's voice.
Satan's voice.
Even if it sounds really,
really good.
Quote, good, mm-hmm. unquote.
Mm-hmm. I wrote in the blog, all Jesus requires of us is obedience, not work, not service. I would love to go into that. I would really love to go into that, because I really wanted to kind of spin off of the listening and go into the obedience and go into all the revelation that we had, because it was huge.
Well, we went through something about 3 weeks ago, and it seems like the Lord is so, the waters are so flowing, that's a long time ago. I hope I can recapture it. But it was a significant turning point in my life. So before I tell about it, you have to remember that I'm a dumb sheep. Okay? Then as a dumb sheep, I saw, and I was taken to the Lord. Well, there are two kinds of people, the irresponsible and the responsible. Both have to be corrected. Let's just put it that way, but you are one or the other. And I wasn't forced to be responsible as a child. I had a very free childhood, but I watched my parents work and love work and had joined work and so forth. Somehow or other, I got the value system of being responsible. And I found myself several weeks ago very, very burdened and feeling overwhelmed, really, for some time, at the responsibilities I have, and just saying, Lord, I have so much on my plate, and I don't feel like I'm doing well at any of it. And I wasn't, because I was trying. I was trying to manage it all and see to it all, and I was failing miserably. And what he did was to simply say, you have only one responsibility, Martha, to obey my voice. The rest of it is not your problem. All the other things that vying for your fixing and needing you and that you feel obligated to do something about, I was raised on Southern manners, and I'm still not dead to it. I tend to think in terms of decency and obligation. And he's saying, no, the only thing you have to do is my will. And the rest of it is not yours to be concerned about. And it gave me a liberty that I'm still dancing over. That there's only one. And how I got there, I think really partly it was the devil. Because I think he makes you think life is too hard and God is too hard. If you think life is too hard, then you will come, you eventually will be like the one that buried his talent because it was just too overwhelming, he couldn't do it. So he just buried it and said, God, you demanded too much. Well, that's the devil's, one of his favorite things to do to a worker, a servant, or a leader. It's just make you think it's just too big. Even Carol's told me, Martha, it's not too big. It's just, it looks that way to you. And it did, because the task was daunting, knowing myself. But when he reduced it to his will, this doesn't bother me if I haven't been able to get the garden done or the kitchen clean. It's really changed my enjoyment of life. I'm only responsible for that. For his will, one thing at the time. And it just sort of hit us like a blast, didn't it, John? That revelation, when I shared it with y'all, everybody was sort of set free, if I remember.
Oh, it was amazing, because you just literally, you boiled it all down, all of life, to one thing. You just said, you just have to be obedient in the moment. You don't have to make plans. You don't have to regret. You just have to be obedient in the moment. And that is so liberating. It's so freeing that I don't have to, you know, I mean, believe me, I can get wrapped up in all the things that have to be done and laying out the plans of all. And it's not like I'm irresponsible and say, well, I'm not going to have to plan. No, but if I'm planning, it's just out of obedience. God's asking to do that. You know, this is what needs to be done this moment. That's all I have to do. That's all I have to do is hear this moment what he wants to do.
And I have found, because I've learned this lesson many times before, over and over again, but my old man is very responsible and believes in itself and believes that it can do everything that is assigned to it. So I have to keep dying to that and going back to being a sheep that can't bear burdens or do tricks or remember. So it's very liberating to be a sheep. I recommend it highly because it's reality. But I find that I really don't know how to execute things. I really don't know how to plan a project, because when he takes it up and he begins to give me the steps, it's utterly brilliant and more than I could ever dream. There's a writing that Austin Sparks has called Divine Order in Christ. I believe that's something like that title. I love that writing because I really love order. I enjoy order. And I don't feel like I do well in the middle of mess and chaos. But he's showing me, you certainly can, if you're not focused on it and worrying about it and fretting about it, you certainly can enjoy one deed at the time. But then I see he develops his divine order. So I pray, give me your divine order. Let it come down in you. Christ must have been so brilliant in the Father. And so he must have just done the most amazing things. Well, they say no, there's no amount of books that could tell it all. But I know he must have been brilliant in living practical life. He had a practical life. He was a carpenter. Hello. He lived in a village where people worked together and had to work together to produce enough food for the village. And so he was very familiar with practical work and he loves practical work now. When I let him be himself in me, he loves the chance to work as a human in me. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but I know you have, Carol, and I know you have, John, but I don't think it's the typical Christian experience. that to know that Jesus is doing the work within you, and you're getting educated and amazed all the time he's doing it.
We hope you've enjoyed the Shulamite podcast. For all the latest from Shulamite Ministries, please visit us at shulamite.com, where you'll find Martha's daily devotions, posts from getalongwithgod.com, and the online library of all of Martha's writings. At shulamite.com, downloading the free Shulamite app is easy, and livingchristianbooks.com is only a click away. Thank you for joining us on this journey to discover a God worth knowing.